There's a funny sort of noise reverberating around Hutton this evening, as if a million angry Thargoids cried out all at once, and then went silent. One thing that isn't silent is the studio. However, as the on-air light flickers into life, silence finally descends until it's broken by a single voice saying,
"Our mics are live." I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I'm wondering, did anyone else hear that?
I'm Mia Harkness, and I think I heard it. My money's on Cecil. He's been eating a lot of beans earlier.
Not that noise, the other one. I'm Hwankare, and I heard it too.
Oh yes, I heard that. It's just the voiceover person. We've just to pretend they're not there. I'm Norma Snockers, and I think we should get to the headlines before someone else starts narrating us.
Titan Tyrannus topples.
Possible peace brings existential angst.
Too hot, too messy, week 83.
Beer bungle bugs, belligerent bikers.
More tangled than Twister, it's the BGS update. In an interstellar spectacle that has sent shockwaves across the cosmos, the formidable Thargoid Titan Tyrannus has met its demise, marking a momentous milestone in our galactic narrative. Pilots from every corner of the galaxy, a veritable vanguard of valor, converged in the Hyades Sector FB-NB7-6 system, their sights set on the seemingly insurmountable. The Titan Tyrannus, a behemoth of biomechanical belligerent brilliance, presumed impervious to our best, has been brought to its knees, or rather its thermal vents, by the cunning combination of Guardian Nanite torpedoes, knitting nanas, flying nanas for scale, and a few deadly panatechs. These diminutive but devastating destroyers have fandangoed a deadly dance, forcing the fearsome facade of the Titan to falter, flay open, and finally fail. Its layers were finally peeled over, it keeled, keening keenly. Spectators to this space-spanning skirmish were not just the brave souls piloting their vessels into the vortex of victory, which is code for Vulcarius kick Tyrannus in the rocks, but also a veritable army of astrogazers and paparazzi. Each vying for a view, these cosmic chroniclers may well have played a pivotal part in the Titan's downfall. The constant surveillance, the relentless recording, did it distract, deter, or otherwise discombobulate the gargantuan Guardian? One wonders if the incessant flashes of camera drones, the buzzing of broadcast bots, and the relentless reportage riled the Thargoid's temper, contributing to its catastrophic capitulation. As Tyrannus' tumultuous termination was closely observed, a massive maelstrom of energy erupted, repulsing all in its radius with a force fierce enough to etch itself into the annals of history and the retinas of anyone who was staring straight at it. And yet, amidst the chaos, the cloud of intensely corrosive gas that now shrouds the site serves as a somber reminder of the savage struggle and the enigmatic end of 1/8 of an era. The victory, while vivid and valiant, leaves us to ponder the profound implications of this pulsating puzzle. As the dust settles and the gas dissipates, what tales will we tell of the Titanic tussle? How will the galaxy greet the news of this gargantuan downfall? And what of the paparazzi, whose persistent presence permeated the fray? Were they mere witnesses to wonder, or did they, in their quest for the quintessential shot, shift the scales in favour of the fearless fighters? As we postulate on the paparazzi, let us not forget the fleet of fearless who with fortitude and finesse faced the formidable, forging ahead into the fray. The destruction of the Thargoid Titan Tyrannus by the collective courage of commanders across the cosmos marks a monumental moment in our ongoing odyssey, a testament to the tenacity of the human spirit, the triumph of teamwork, and the tantalizing promise of tomorrow. Oh, and there are 7 more to go.
In the bubble bit of the Milky Way, where the line between friend and foe blurs into the vast unknown, the Thargoid cult and their pacifist counterparts, unaffectionately dubbed the Hug a Thargoid cult, stand in stark contrast to the galaxy's prevailing martial spirit. These congregations, united in their fascination and adoration for the Thargoids, find themselves at a crossroads as news of the Thargoid Titan Tyrannus' destruction spreads like wildfire across the stars. One cannot help but wonder, will sections of humanity mourn the absence of the Thargoids, those enigmatic architects of hyperdictions, creators of mysterious gargling noises, and the minds behind the mystifying barnacle spires and titans? The phenomena, once sources of dread and wonder alike, have woven themselves into the fabric of our galactic lore. The potential void left by their anticipated departure raises questions about our place in the universe and their relationship with the unknown. Enter Zachary Rackham, a name synonymous with audacity and ambition. Rumours swirl like nebulae that he's concocting a scheme as grandiose as it is luminous. Towing a Thargoid Titan to a secret location, retrofitting it with batteries, big speakers and LED lights to inaugurate his own Titan theme park. A venture aimed not just at profit, but at preserving the memory of encounters with the Thargoids, allowing humanity to relive the exhilaration and terror in equal measure. Will this monument to human curiosity and ingenuity become a beacon drawing souls from across the galaxy to marvel at once what once was? As we stand on the brink of potentially turning the tide against the Thargoid menace, we are faced with a poignant conundrum. What becomes of those who force their livelihoods in the fires of conflict? The manufacturers of anti-Thargoid weaponry, the spectre of peace, while a balm to many, threatens the purpose and prosperity of these artisans of armaments. Will they, as ancient proverbs suggest, be compelled to beat their swords into plowshares, trading the art of war for the art of agriculture? Could the fields of battle transform into fields of grain as humanity seeks new frontiers in the tranquil pursuit of farming and creation? As we navigate these tumultuous waters, teeming with potential and peril, the actions we take and the paths we choose will sculpt the narrative of our shared future. The Thargoid followers, the Hug a Thargoid advocates, the entrepreneurs dreaming of interstellar amusement parks, and the weaponsmiths pondering their place in a peacetime economy, all threads in the intricate tapestry of our cosmic journey. In the dance of destruction and diplomacy, of conflict and camaraderie, we find the essence of our existence. A reminder that in the vast, star-studded embrace of the galaxy, we are eternally intertwined with the unknown.
Week 83 of the Too Hot, Too Messy saw commanders collectively pass 123,000 deliveries. With numbers maintaining a slight but steady upward trend, with almost 1,200 deliveries in the week. This is enough to maintain the rise in the 4-week average to just under 1,100. Congratulations go to Commander Waller 81, who yesterday racked up an astonishing 20,000 deliveries. Or, to put it another way, 1 in 6 of all mugs delivered. Well done. Also, Commander Norbert Paternaud became the 18th member of the 1000 Club. Well done there too. Hun is expanding and gym production at the Orbital is up to 21 units. So stock up on yours now whilst the expansion lasts. Traffic is still very light at the Orbital, so the approaches are congestion free and you'll be getting on the landing pad on first request. Oh, and we've got one! Torquay Mouse made the Hutton run in 1 hour, 39 minutes and 41 seconds. And the curly whirly shortage is over, people. We are fully stocked again.
St-
Sorry, I've lost the tab with the script on it. Trying to find it.
It doesn't say that at all.
It doesn't say that in my script.
Did we go off script?
I've lost it. Yeah. Has anyone got a link quick?
Well, we sing. I'll sing to you. Do you want to sing? Oh, somebody must have a birthday. Can we sing happy birthday to somebody?
I don't know. I mean, we don't have any birthdays, do we?
No.
Anybody got a link?
Hold on. I will get you a link.
Okay. Seamless.
There you go.
Something.
One link.
Scriptless.
The tab's open. Right.
That'll teach you to go shopping.
You got it, Flossie?
Okay, yes, thank you, yeah. The latest puzzler to perplex the team over at the Orbital comes courtesy of the Alpha Centauri Gold Brotherhood. This local space biker gang, notorious for their revelry and less for their astronomical achievements, has recently declared a drought in their ranks, a claim that has left many scratching their helmets in confusion, given their notable absence of any planet, settlement, space station, or installation ownership. To unravel this enigmatic statement, we dispatched our intrepid roving reporter, Cassia Cosmo Jetstream, deep into the heart of the Alpha Centauri system. Well, sort of outside the orbital, really. Her mission? To get to the bottom of this drought declaration and glean some clarity about the situation. Upon docking at a discreet outpost frequented by the Brotherhood, Cassia met with Knuckles McNree, a high-ranking member of the Alpha Centauri Gold Brotherhood, known for his expansive beard as much as his expansive knowledge of the Brotherhood's inner workings. The drought? Oh, that's no mystery, Knuckles chuckled, the sound echoing off the metal walls of the dimly lit establishment. It's the beer, you see. Our stocks run dry faster than a comet hurtling through a brick black hole. The revelation underscores a fundamental challenge faced by such a nomadic group, spending their days travelling end to end of Alpha Centauri and sending messages in supercruise about booty and juicy cargo. Without a fixed location to call home, the Brotherhood's logistical capabilities are as fleeting as their sobriety. But how does a faction without a fixed address run out of beer? Cassia probed, her curiosity piqued. Knuckles leaned in, as if sharing a state secret. Turns out the chap responsible for our supply runs thought it'd be funny to turn off the stopcock in our quarters. Left us high and dry in a literal sense. Took us a week to figure out he'd been siphoning off to fund his own little venture on the side. The situation, while initially dire, has not dampened the spirits of the Brotherhood. Instead, it has become a testament to their resilience and ingenuity in the face of adversity, and of their addiction to beer. We're a resourceful bunch, Knuckles asserted with pride, and let's just say we've found alternative means to ensure the drought doesn't become a recurring theme. Which sounds a lot to us like he's found the pipes that feed the gin bottling plant at Hutton. Either that or he's in for a nasty shock when he realises they run alongside the ones from Cubicle 3.
Things are going through somewhat of a can it really be spring in space vibe in Hutton Orbital this week, and six systems have wound up on Alvin's report, mostly only just, and another is feeling a bit thirsty. More on those stories coming up. After Ross 671's almost permanent grip on the wooden spoon was relinquished 3 weeks ago, new systems have continued to take turns to carry the baton. Barnard Star snatched it from last week's holder Narnia, beating the previous week's holder Epsilon Indy by a gnat's crotchet, both on 32. Hutton have few concerns in Barnard Star as the rest of the factions are still having their share of a civil war, three civil unrests, a famine, a pending outbreak, and a pair of busts. As just mentioned, hard-to-move Epsilon Indy is also on 32, having dropped a point from last week. Almost a quarter of system influence is tied up in a civil war for the next few days, so leave it until next week before attempting to boost Hutton numbers. We have a 5-point gap to the third worst system, Leuton 145-141, and only 2 points separated it and the other three systems on Alvarin's report, Ross 671 and Hilparsai, both on 38, and Stein 2051 on 39. It appears that Hutton can no longer rely on the mad monks of Van Marnen to keep them supplied with tonic wine, as the dysfunctional dipsomaniacs have drunk the lot, leaving the system both high and dry. Shipping water supplies to the large pads in O'Connor City so that they can turn water into tonic wine. Not currently in conflict, in Trepin, the collective of independent agents have come within 5 points of Hutton a couple of times in the last few weeks. God Emperor Hanky is managing the situation single-handedly, well, literally since he broke his wrist, and with it the Pythias woes, and he would appreciate some assistance in widening the gap. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have 5 systems above 60%, one of which is over 70, and we are expanding again. Priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, boost Barnard Star and Trepin, and slake the drought in Van Marnen Star.
Mostly seamless.
Well, sorry about that.
It'll be fine in the edit.
Yeah, it'll be fine in the edit. I thought that article with all the tongue twisters was done really well.
Yeah, yes, I thought so. There was a lot of them in there. A
lot of tongue twisters there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Were there?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Well, that's why I muted you earlier, because I could read it to myself while you lot were yabbering.
Yeah, but we like to yabber.
This is what we do in the rehearsal.
Rehearsal.
We have a rehearsal.
Come on, of course.
You need to manage people's expectations.
Of course, so we have a rehearsal. Rehearsal. We're professionals.
Yes.
You just tease
rehearsal.
Them cold.
Rehearsal.
Yeah, we're not professionals at this, though, are we?
But when have we ever been?
Yes, this is true.
Well, it wouldn't be any point.
So. Did we have a Frontier live stream?
Nope. It's not the last Wednesday of the month.
Yeah.
That was last week.
Okay.
Oh, there was, however. Those of you who have been in the game today would have got in, unless you played before. Ooh, what time did it come on? About 10 o'clock this morning. There was an update, though. Update 18.01.
Okay. I'm going to have a look at that. Just
and I somehow managed to log in to the servers before the update. It was weird, and all kinds of weird stuff was going on, and then I thought, this is a bit daft. So after about 40 minutes, I logged out, and there was an update, and I was like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I've got an update.
Permit lock stations, all kinds of stuff was going on. Anyway.
They weren't really permit locked, but were they? They just weren't letting you in.
I couldn't deliver a mug there, that's for sure. Mm. And you know when you get the orbital entry thing and you drop down to the orbital cruise and then it gives you your altitude? The drop, the DRP, was in red.
No.
It was.
As if you couldn't go there.
As if you couldn't go there. Because I dropped out like 163 kilometres up because it wouldn't go into glide. I tried it 2 or 3 times. What's going on here? And anyway, when I finally... I couldn't auto-launch, I got stuck in my fleet carrier, so I logged out, logged back in, did the update, went back to the same station, and I could deliver a mug.
Yay!
So it did have a happy ending.
That's...
I like happy endings.
Yes.
Don't we all? That's 30 quid extra, though.
Hard park! Do we have any space news?
Not officially.
No. Do I need to press the button?
Yeah, press the button anyway.
Well, we can do it. We don't need the outro from it, though, do we?
Do we? Well, if we have the intro, we should really have an outro.
Yeah. Well, let's do the intro first and see how it goes.
All right, let's do the intro then. I'll press the button.
When you don't know where to get more space news, 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 space news.
I suppose the big space news, of course, was Titan Taranis, but...
do tell.
having never shot a Thargoid, I'm not really an expert.
I haven't either.
No. Lossy has a bit.
I can tell you that one of the previous stories we've been talking about in the past few weeks is Voyager 1 and how we can't talk to it anymore. As of yesterday, NASA still couldn't get any sense out of it. It's just broadcasting back complete gibberish, which, as I speculated earlier, might be Klingon. Could be Klingon. But no joy with that. The thing is...
I reckon the aliens have got it and they've turned that into V-Gen now. It's going to come back with a big cloud and ask to meet his maker.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I was on PM... earlier this evening, there was they interviewed a chap who worked on the original Voyager program 53 years ago. Because NASA decided which instruments they were going to put on the Voyager probes back in 1972, which I know for a fact is before some of you were born. And this guy was talking about working on the project 53 years later. That's incredible.
Wow.
And it shows you how sort of long-lived these things are, yet the weak link in all of it is the human input.
I'm glad you said long-lived, because I'm 53.
Well.
Yes.
I think Star Trek got it right, and it's going to come back as V'ger. I mean, they've been right about a lot of other things, you know, pads, communicators, you know, they've been right about a lot of stuff.
The doors that open themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. People dying in red shirts.
Yeah.
Unless they're Scottish.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, if you're Scottish, you're safe.
They're tapes as well. They're wee blocks of plastic that they used to shove in and go, it's a tape.
Yeah, so you get the...
those were discs, weren't they?
I like where you get the transporter down to the planet's surface and Kirk immediately says to the three guys in red shirts, go and dig three graves over there. I'll tell you why later. Well, the other thing he says is, okay, Scotty, very funny. Now beam down my clothes.
So do we have any other space news?
No, it's mostly been speculation about the lunar, you know, the top-heavy lunar lander, which reminds me of somebody I went to school with, actually.
Didn't you mention something about an asteroid that was like 1,000 langoustines long?
Well, yeah, but middle of April. There's an asteroid.
Langoustines that are a meter long.
There's an asteroid like half a mile across.
That's a lot of langoustines.
Going to come not too close to us the middle of April, but that's for another show, I think.
Yeah. Even in capybaras, that's a lot.
When we can see the whites of its eyes, that'll be time to talk about it.
Somebody better get up there and put big googly eyes on it then.
Well, obviously, it's something that size. It's big enough. We've been tracking it forever, so we know more or less exactly where it's going to be. It's the buggers that creep up on you because they're so small, which are the dangerous ones.
I've just done that patch. It was 507 meg.
That's not that big.
Yeah.
No, it's not that little thing.
It was about a minute it took. It wasn't much.
So shall I press the button again? Is that the space news over?
I think that's space news done.
Well, the one last little bit of space news is... is there any night shift in chat? Just looking. I don't think so. There could be. There's nobody obviously.
Well, there might not be any night shift, but there might be some Americans.
Any septics in the chat? NASA are recruiting again. The new batch of NASA astronauts.
Oh my god.
Cuz NASA stands for need another shedload of astronauts.
Oh, Severland's waving.
Ah. There you go. Well,
there you go. Go on, Severland. Get yourself out there.
You need to be American. You need to have a degree in engineering or something clever. You know, like Psychologos and Sociologos does not count.
Media studies will do.
No, it doesn't count.
Carry on, sir.
Or if you're a pilot, oh, I've forgotten the. Just Google NASA astronaut application for me. Take you right to it. Because the previous.
I'm sure John Glenn went back up, sir, and you'll be fine.
Yes, John Glenn. Yeah.
Alan you Shepard. You can get back anybody can.
Alan Shepard was the oldest man on the moon.
Alan Shepard, aye.
Because the class of 21, so the last batch they took in 2021 have just graduated, so now they're looking for another bunch. So go for it.
Yes, go for it, Sir Valent. Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Just tell him we said it was okay.
Yeah. Stick a fiver in with the form.
Yeah.
You better make it $5 just to be sure.
Yeah. Who's on the $5?
Oh, I don't know.
It's not Grant, is it? He's on the 50. He's on the 5.
It'll be somebody dafty. Somebody.
Washington, Lincoln. Lincoln's on a 10. Oh, I don't know. Is it Jackson? Andrew Jackson? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yes,
anyway,
Jackson.
Because I was. She'd probably want to stick a Benjamin on there.
Yes.
Shall I press the button again?
Press the button.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Space news.
Wow. It's a very catchy tune.
It is. I like it.
I like it a lot.
Much. Yeah.
So do we have a word of the week?
We do have a word of the week this week. And word of the week is Sloberdegoulian.
Oh, that sounds so French.
It does.
What does that mean then?
It means lazy or slovenly.
And can you use it in a sentence, please?
You watch me go. From the many lurid stains on his flight suit, it was clear that Cecil is a total Sloberdegoulian.
And if you're interested in the spelling and meaning, it's coming across on the headline on your screen right now.
I'm going to stick it in the chat right now as well.
Sloberdegoulian.
Sloberdegoulian.
Sticking in the chat is so 1987.
At least it's not so 1978. Yeah. Anyway, what do you call an anteater that's good at golf?
Jeff.
It's always fucking Jeff. No,
Jeff is a very accomplished person.
Yeah, but he doesn't play golf.
Doesn't he?
No.
I'm sure he'd be very good at it, though, if he did play it.
Yeah, we don't know that, so it can't be Jeff. What do you call an anteater that's definitely good at golf?
Beth.
Yeah.
Reginald.
An anteater that's really good at golf is called a one-under aardvark.
Aardvark! Oh, God. Ah, Flossie, are you ready for this week's Seachy News?
Yeah.
anything to take the memory away.
It's Flossie, and the community goes.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. There are no CGs this week. The CGs are currently on a bit of a hold while all this other stuff's going on, but they will be back. And that's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
Well, I hope we've got a goal there. So, hopefully this is Beetlejuice and Wotherspoon with this week's Golnet News. Or maybe not. Maybe this week it's audio instead of a video.
News.
Hutton News Digest, 7th of March 3310, The Last Stand of Titan Taranis. In the inky expanse of the High Aids Sector FBNB-76 system, a cosmic congregation assembled their ships, sleek, battle-worn, and adorned with the scars of countless skirmishes, formed a celestial armada. Among them, Commander Vulcarius stood resolute, eyes fixed on the distant anomaly, the Titan Taranis. Taranis, the Thargoid monstrosity, loomed like a malevolent moon. Its eight hearts pulsed with alien energy, each beat echoing through the void. The galaxy held its breath, for this was no ordinary battle. It was a reckoning, a clash of civilizations, a dance of destiny. The first salvo came from the Guardian nanite torpedoes. They streaked toward Taranis, weaving intricate patterns as if choreographed by cosmic maestros. The Thargoid's shields flickered, but it held firm. The knitting nanas followed suit, their needles clicking in rhythm. They unraveled reality itself, exposing vulnerabilities. "Steady, team," Captain Stella's voice crackled over the comms. "Flying nanas, prepare for the peel maneuver." The Nana Squadron, tiny ships shaped like ripe bananas, swirled around Taranis. Their pilots, grannies with steely resolve, sang ancient knitting songs. The Titan's carapace quivered layer by layer. It peeled away, revealing the pulsing core beneath. The hearts were exposed, vulnerable. "Knit faster," Lieutenant Cosmo urged. "We're down to the last heart." Captain Stella brandished her frying pan, a relic from Earth's forgotten kitchens. She swung it like a seasoned chef, aiming for the final heart. The pan connected, and Taranis shuddered. Sparks flew, and the heart emitted a mournful hum. The Titan's defenses wavered. "Commander Vulcarius," Stella called, "finish it." Vulcarius piloted the Viper MK-3, its hull patched with duct tape and determination. He aligned the crosshairs, heart racing. The moment hung much like a cosmic pendulum. Then, with a breath, he fired. The Guardian nanite torpedoes struck true. Taranis convulsed, its last heart disintegrating. The behemoth keeled over, its once imposing form collapsing. The void swallowed it, leaving only stardust in its wake. The galactic paparazzi snapped photos, and astrogazers cheered. Humanity had triumphed. As the dust settled, Commander Vulcarius floated among the wreckage. The stars whispered secrets, the Thargoids' ancient past, their lost homeworlds, and the price of survival. Humanity had prevailed, but at what cost? Vulcarius glanced at his frying pan, now dented and battle-scarred. "We did it," he murmured, "for Earth, for the Guardians, and for every Nana-loving granny out there." And so, in the cosmic theater, the curtain fell on Titan Taranis, but the galaxy knew. Heroes rise, hearts beat, and legends are forged in the crucible of the void.
News.
That's all the news there is for now. For more thrilling tales of Thargoid encounters, stay tuned to the Cosmic Frequencies.
Well, that's what the GoalNet file was, but luckily we have Vulcarius here who's going to actually give us an update personally. Over to you, Vulcarius.
Oh, good evening, Hutton. I'm not quite sure what that was, but well done to all for sending Taranis into meltdown. I was going to say I'm sure everyone will be talking about the event and probably speculating about what we'll find in the wreckage when the 100-kilometer-wide caustic cloud is gone. But apparently not, so I guess it'll have to be me. I wasn't actually going to dwell on it too much due to that. Although I will say that Taranis recovering its systems was becoming quite a problem, so that really was the quick victory we needed. Well done, everyone. I can confirm that destroying Titan Taranis has stopped new attacks there, like the new alerts coming from their control systems. So that's stopped. For now, the systems are still as strong as before. So for the moment, we have a few control systems around there we can't really remove yet. But for now, they're not doing any more harm, so there's no immediate danger. Moving on. Last week, that was very, very busy around the next weakest Titan, which is Titan Ligong. At least by the system count, which is what counts here. So huge thanks to everyone clearing systems around it. There are, as usual, more commanders and squadrons than I could possibly name all at once. For around a day or so, it was pretty much just us and Commander Factabulous. But the joint response after that day or so, absolutely amazing. Joint operations, always fun. So certainly thank you to the Anti-Xenu Initiative, Post-Disaster Evacuation Service, Knights of Azerion, everyone else who was there. It had 14 control systems, 22 total, and now it's only got 10 control systems. And it's taking much more damage than it was last week. So if you're able to attack Titans, please get yourself over to HIP 8887. That's HIP, or perhaps HIP, 8887, or I suppose perhaps 8887. Now, we know now that the combat bonds you get when you hit the Titan depends on the damage resistance, but we don't technically know how the actual Titan damage works. If it were to be the case that the credits actually represent the damage you do to the Titan, it appears that Titan Ligong is taking around 2/3 the damage Tyrannus was. So if that's true, and if everyone gets over to HIP 8887, we could actually send Titan Ligong into Meltdown this week. As always, though, everything depends on commanders actually getting down there and dealing the damage. So no worries if it's still alive. By the time we get to next week, we're going to keep it suppressed and hopefully weaken it a bit further. But right now, there's really no reason to leave it for later. So please get down to HIP 8887 with your Nalite bombs, freeze the vents, blast the core as much as you can.
Nice.
So Volcarius, how do people know where to go? Is there a place where you can go and...
Oh, yeah, there certainly is. The quickest thing you can do is open your galaxy map. On the left-hand side, you want to look for Thargoid War Information. That will give you a list of all Titans and the most progressed systems for the week. You can just click on Titan Ligong and it will target that system, and then just press Route, I suppose, it'll show you which way to go.
Very good.
Nice. Thank you for that, Volcarius.
I'm not asking because I'm going to go, but... Others might.
You're more of a mug deliverer than a Thargoid killer.
Well... Never bothered me.
He's a postman, not a fighter.
I don't mind killing pilots. And pirates. Yeah. But what do the flower people ever do to me?
Exactly. But that's what we've actually worked out tonight. What I worked out tonight, just listening to you all, is that none of us have actually shot at a Thargoid.
I don't think I've actually shot at a player either.
Oh, shot at players? Huh. I'm sure I have. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, avoided them, yes, but never shot at.
I've been murdered interdicted them. By them, so I'm pretty sure I've fired at one or two.
Never murdered killed another
by
pilot.
By the truckload.
I'm too nice. Plus, you know, mining lasers don't do much damage.
Yeah, those asteroids had it coming.
Anyway, does someone want to introduce the next bit? Because it would be weird if I did.
Okay. I'll do it. It's Amelia with the Galnet Rares Digest.
You are about to listen to Amelia Hawk. She tries all the galaxy's most dangerous rare items, so you don't have to.
This week, as promised, I'm trying out something really illegal. Properly not allowed, just about anywhere. Which is why I've got Steve with me again. Well, he's actually my fashion model for a photo shoot. And as he's fresh out of the cloning tank, he looks as fresh as a daisy. We're investigating Shanaskilk furs. Now, before you ask, no, this isn't real fur. I mean, well, it is, but it's still attached. I mean, nothing has been harmed in the wearing of this fur. Yet. The Shanaskilk hail from Ylgarnia, a world of endless dunes and twilight skies, where the sunsets stretch for hours and the nights are illuminated by the shimmering auroras of its twin moons. It's a planet where the extreme day-night cycle has led to some of the most peculiar evolutionary traits in the galaxy, the Shanaskilk being the prime example. Imagine a creature as flat as a pancake, but as large as a banquet table, with fur softer than the finest silk spun by the legendary spiders of Korvald IX. Its fur, a tapestry of iridescent hues, shifts in colour with the planet's ever-changing light, making it not just a creature of comfort, but of unparalleled beauty. The Shanaskilk's temperament, however, is anything but gentle. A predator in its own right, it spends the long Ylgarnian nights hunting, using its vast, flat body to glide silently over the sands before enveloping its prey. But it is during the lengthy daytime slumbers that the Shanaskilk becomes the galaxy's most sought-after accessory. With a sleeping cycle that spans the majority of the planet's long, languid days, the Shanaskilk can be cautiously approached, admired, and if one is daring enough, worn. The fur's texture is hypnotic, a sensation so luxurious that it's said to calm even the most troubled of souls. Well, that is until it awakens. Our adventure on Ylgarnia was much an expedition as it was a dip into the avant-garde world of extreme fashion. Having taken our sand buggy converted SRV out into the dunes and being very careful not to get stuck, Steve and I managed to track down a dozing Shanaskilk in the dawn sun. Sneaking up on it, with one eye over my shoulder in case the fashion police or even the real police were watching, I carefully lifted this oh-so-soft and silky creature, which promptly draped itself rather fashionably over one of my arms. This one's a little large for me, so I've carefully passed it to Steve. I mean, he's good with small furry things. Mooncake adores him. Donning the Shanaskilk, Steve 3 momentarily became a walking piece of art, a symbiosis of man and beast, a testament to the lengths we go for beauty and the thrill of the rare. The Shanaskilk, for all its serene elegance and repose, is a reminder that nature, much like fashion, can be unpredictable and wild at its core. Sneaking away from the planet and heading to the nearest stylish location to see people's reactions to these things, we're keeping a close eye on the time as we know that these things fall asleep at daybreak and we've only got 20 hours or so before it wakes up. Oh, I mean, Steve does look good in that. He's tried wrapping it around his head like a turban, he's tried wearing it like a shawl, even now he's wearing it like a furry kilt, and it's staying there all on its own without the need of a belt. People keep stroking Steve, it is quite creepy. Here I am, at the height of interstellar sophistication, with Steve 3 by my side, or rather, Steve in his Shanaskilk kilt. We've come to this gala not just for the attendees, but as pioneers on the very frontier of fashion, draped in the most dangerous garment this side of the galaxy, all in the name of science and adventure, of course. We believe we've timed it perfectly. The Shanaskilk should slumber peacefully for the duration of our soiree, nestled around Steve's waist like the most opulent of kilts. As the evening progresses, the unmistakable sound of a growl cuts through the string quartet's melody. It's not the rumble of a well-to-do's hunger, but from Steve's middle section. I freeze. I mean, my heart skips. As I remember, the day's length on Yulgarnia doesn't quite align with Earth. So, I mean, our calculations are horribly off. Without warning, the party's ambiance shifts from elegance to sheer panic. The Shanaskilk, now fully awake and far from pleased, begins to express its displeasure in a manner most unsuitable for polite company. Steve Three, poor soul, becomes the epicenter of a spectacle no one had anticipated. I mean, least of all him. It's bedlam, with guests scattering as the Shanaskilk, still fastened around Steve like a belt of fury, lashes out. It's a scene of absolute horror. In a desperate act, someone, I mean, a hero in their own right, grabs a chair and, with a swing that would make ancient warriors nod in approval, brings the beast to a stunned silence. It has the opposite effect on Steve, of course. The impact sends him doubling over in agony, clutching at his very fur-covered groinal area. The creature lapsing into unconsciousness, still wrapped around him. The aftermath is a blur. Steve is rushed to the infirmary as the Shanaskilk, now pacified, is quickly secured in its awaiting vivarium. The party, much like our spirits, is in ruins. So, to the aspiring fashionistas of the galaxy, a word of caution. The Shanaskilk furs may embody the pinnacle of living luxury, but they come with a risk that's not for the faint of heart. And to Steve Three, wherever you are now, know that your sacrifice has not been in vain. You've become a legend, a tale to be told whenever daring is celebrated and fashion is revered. For many a man, that image of the chair colliding with you just... there's enough to bring a tear to his eyes and a lump to the throat. This is Amelia Hawke reporting for the Galnet Rares Digest. I've seen attack furs enraged around the waist of my good friend Steve, so you don't have to. Well.
Just for people who are suddenly get exciting, it's because it says up next the green room. It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
That was last week. And I was told that very few attended, which is a shame. If you're listening, you should really attend the green room week. It's at the end. Show of each month, so the last Thursday of each month.
It was the Volcarius show last week.
Oh, the Volcarius. I mean, that is something I wouldn't enjoy tuning into.
Yeah, Volcarius can carry that, though. That's not too big a... Yeah, Mooncake.
Yeah.
Mooncake knows.
Yep, she knows. She thinks Volcarius is great as well. It is almost time to feed her, actually. So I think that's it, isn't it? Is there anything else?
I don't think so.
No? We've done the word of the week?
We've done word of the week. Yeah, we've done all the things. Thanks. I know. I think we've done all the things. I think it's an early night.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Is that a new record? No?
No, I think we're okay. I think we're safe.
Maybe I should set up a Mooncake cam.
You know what we asked, the question we asked ourselves earlier, and we didn't do anything about?
Which was?
I'm just checking whether there are any drops. There aren't.
No, yeah, there aren't.
I checked in the
I was just thinking because it was a new month, but it's not a new season.
There was no use, so I just left it.
Yeah. Because I don't have enough random paint jobs.
No, I don't. You can't have enough.
For it's ships I don't fly.
It's impossible to have enough. Yeah. Oh, well, is that us then?
That is us, I think.
Oh, man, right. I'm on this week.
You are on this week. Do you want the klaxon?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, it's coming at you.
For the mug!
For the mug!
For that mug. I'm just waiting for your neighbours to stop banging on the wall.
Journey too long, or cargo too small. Profit margins never really mattered at all. You're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading all the teenage to the brim with the rest for the more.
For the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, everybody's seen a trucker song. Flossie always seems to crash into the sun. Skibble ice, the pilot on the Xbox One. Halving out the frame, you know it leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Everybody's seen the hurting trucker's song. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
You know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Everybody sing the trucker's song. Give me a large path that I can land on, and I'll give you cargo and sing you my song. No point 22 light years to go. Cruising to what? No journey too long, no cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud, like you don't even care. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more. Everybody sing the trucker's song. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Everybody sing the trucker's song.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.